Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Good God, I hate people sometimes.
Don't be a hater.
Mark Grody in for Joe Ostrowski here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, as the sun begins to sink in the great big beautiful city of Chicago. I'm downtown. We've got Ron Coomer planted out at Wrigley Field right now. We'll check back in with him in just a little bit as the Cubs continue on with their sim game. We've got early odds at 8:40. We'll do our baseball picks at that time, and we're open for business, 231-2644-6767. We've been previewing all of the National League Central teams and the American League Central teams because your Cubs and your White Sox will play 40 games against those particular teams, so they really need to win those games this year. The St. Louis Cardinals won the National League Central last season with a record of 91-71, and here now to talk about it is one of the former Score guys, Chris Ronji. He now hosts his own damn show in St. Louis on 101 ESPN. Hi, Chris Ronji. How are you?
Hi, Grody. What's happening, buddy?
Nothing, man. It's good to hear your voice. How was your show today? Did you have a good show today, Chris?
Well, first of all, it's not my own. I share it with two other schmucks. But it's fine. You know, everything is fine. We spent all day being excited about intra-squad baseball. So playing like everybody else, we're doing great over here, pal. Just great.
Yeah. Yes, we're all trying very hard, and finally in sports radio we'll get to we're actually going to get to talk about real baseball a week from this Friday. I know the news there, Chris, with the Cards is that Jordan Hicks opted out after, you know, missing a lot of last year too, having had Tommy John surgery. But how much of a blow is that to what the Cardinals were at least planning to do with him this year?
Well, I think it's first of all, let me say this: it's the right call. Any player who decides they don't want to play in the middle of this for whatever reason, especially if they've got a condition that makes it really kind of unsafe for them to be out there, like him, he's a type 1 diabetic. So his decision to not be there, it makes all the sense in the world. And every time it happens when you hear about a player who has decided they're not going to play, and I don't know what it's been, maybe a dozen times or something like that, we've gotten a player who just decided they weren't going to do it. I always cringe because I'm waiting for the reaction from fans to be, oh, get your ass out there. You're okay. Yeah. You're young and healthy. But, I mean, thankfully, it really hasn't happened that much. I mean, you're going to get a few idiots who will say something like that. And I think there were maybe a couple I saw who said a similar thing about Hicks. But for the most part, you're talking like 98% of people get it, or at least they say they get it. And so for me, that's good. I'm glad that people, you know, understand what's happening here and how big of a deal this is. So yeah, it was the right call for him if that's what he wanted to do, and he decided not to. So good for him. But as far as how it affects them, I think it's kind of a big deal because they were expecting him about this time anyway to be ready to go. You know, if this would have been a regular season, he should have been good to go from his Tommy John surgery by about now. They were expecting him to be part of their team later in the year, so maybe July, maybe August, and then through the rest of the year. And obviously he solves that ninth inning for you. The problem now is with him out, and they've got a couple of guys who have tested positive, and who knows when they're going to be ready to go, who could have been closer candidates, Giovanni Gallegos being one of them, Genesis Cabrera is another one. Cabrera actually tested positive. I think Gallegos is still stuck in Mexico, and I don't know if it's COVID-related, but it seems like it probably is. So, yeah. You know, those guys aren't available. Alex Reyes isn't available. So what it kind of sounds like, and I hate this idea, but it sounds like they're going to have Carlos Martinez close games for them again, and that's as of right now. That could change, and I think it's a bad idea because he's one of their two best pitchers, and I would rather have 50 innings of him instead of 25, but yeah. He's done the job before, so it kind of sounds like they're leaning that direction. And the reason I say it sounds like they're leaning that direction is every time anybody has been asked about it, like John Mozeliak or Mike Schilt, the manager, they don't say outright, oh no, Carlos is going to be our starter. Like if he was going to be a starter, they would be saying right now, no, he's one of our starters, but they dance around the question when it happens. So it leads me to believe they're leaning toward him starting in the bullpen, and I don't like that idea.
I assume Carlos Martinez hates this idea too.
I think so. I mean, he wants to start. I mean, last year when he came back from the injury, he was, he said what anybody would say, and that was just, however I can help, let me help. And,
right.
I think there was some conditioning/injury concern with him. That's why they didn't, put him back in the rotation at the time. And that made sense then. But now I don't think it makes sense. I mean, they just seem to be going off the idea that he's done it before, so we have that part figured out, which I just don't think that's the right thing to do, especially in a 60-game season where anybody could probably close for 2 months and be okay, or I guess anybody could be really bad for 2 months too, But a closer can emerge. It's more difficult to find somebody who can start games for you, even though their pitching depth is pretty good. I don't like the idea of taking him out of that rotation. I don't think it's the best thing for them, but I get the feeling they're going that direction.
Talking to St. Louis talk show host Chris Ranji of 101 ESPN. I'm Mark Rohde here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. What about Andrew Miller? Are they getting their money's worth out of him? What's the outlook for him?
I think he's going to be okay. I mean, he said he felt fine for the beginning of the season back in spring training, so he should be good to go. He might get a chance to close some games, but he's most likely going to set up, and he'll be in the seventh or eighth inning, and that's where his place should be. I don't think they should use him to close unless it is just an emergency and they don't have anybody else. That's why I think he might get a couple of opportunities. But he's going to end up being that guy late in the game to get the ball to the ninth inning. And he's still okay. I mean, he's not the Andrew Miller from the World Series a few years ago. He's not that guy anymore. But he's still okay. And we'll see where he is here this season. He's also their he's their player rep. So he was very heavily involved in all the negotiations, or at least he was the mouthpiece for the Cardinals, talking a lot about what was going on and the contract situations for everybody. And he's really involved with that. He seems like a very good dude. And if he's anything like he was a couple of years ago, then he's serviceable, but it's not, you're not going to get that World Series super reliever type out of him. He's just not that guy anymore.
The starting ace for the Cardinals is Jack Flaherty, a 2.75 ERA, a WHIP under one, a 6 WAR player. How good is Jack Flaherty, Chris?
I do think he's legit. They've got a bunch of young arms that I don't really know about, and they talk them up all the time, like every team does. Like, hey, look at our pitchers. We're going to be great for years to come. But he's one guy that I feel pretty confident is pretty darn good. So I think he does have Cy Young potential. He's got no hit potential. He's one of those types. I think he's absolutely legitimate. Everybody else, I don't know. Dakota Hudson, I'm not really sure. Austin Gomber, if he gets a chance to start games ever, I don't really know what he is. But Jack Flaherty, I think, is absolutely the real deal.
Is Miles Michaelis the number two? Is that where he slots?
Well,
again this year?
If if Carlos isn't in the rotation, he's the number two. But I think ideally he's the number three in your rotation. And KK Kim, who came over during the off season, he's probably going to end up being five. And I feel like I'm missing somebody. I can't remember who it is off the top of my head, but their rotation is okay. It's steady. It's not going to shut everybody down every time, but you are talking about a team that is really good at keeping runs of the opponent down quite a bit because they're steady in the rotation, they're steady in the bullpen, and their defense is really good, and I think that helped them out a lot. Like, they were in fielding independent numbers, they were 11th or 12th in baseball last year. But when it came to ERA, they were up fourth or fifth in baseball. And that's a pretty big indication that they pick it. You know, they play really good defense, so they're not making them a ton of mistakes. They're not screwing their pitchers and forcing their pitchers to stay out there for an extra 10 to 15 pitches because they're screwing up in the field. They do really good at run suppression. So that's how they're going to have to live again. That defense will have to be strong in order to prop up the pitching.
Talking about the St. Louis Cardinals with Chris Ronji, I'm Mark Grody. Paul Goldschmidt last year, Ron, 34 homers. Felt like a slow year for him. It's definitely a slow start. Any reason to think that he won't be back to what he was, and that was a guy who was in the MVP picture year to year? Will he be Arizona Goldschmidt this year, you think?
I guess the only thing that you could argue against is that he'll be 33 in a couple of months, and maybe he's, maybe age is starting to get to him, even though 33 is not, it's not ancient, but for some ball players, they get to this time of their career and it just really starts to slow down. Unless that's a problem for him, I think he'll be okay. I would assume he'd have a bounce back, and you say he had a down year, which he did. Compared to what he typically does,
right.
Like, I mean, it was pretty significantly down to what he did the year before and the year before that. But I would think he's going to bounce back. But the only way that it would I would argue against it is if age is finally starting to wear on him.
Speaking of age, Adam Wainwright and Yadier Molina are entering that been around forever territory. What kind of contributions are expected from those two at this point?
Well, for Molina, I kind of expect what he's been doing for the last several years. He's not, he's not a great offensive player. He's probably slowed down a little bit behind the plate, but he is steady. He knows how to handle a pitching staff. You know, you hear that all the time. But I think he's really legitimately good at that. He's calming to a lot of pitchers, so that effect is always going to be there. For Adam Wainwright, I don't really know what to expect. What he did last year was really decent. I mean, you're talking about legitimate third or fourth starter numbers from him. I was surprised he did that. I didn't think he had it in him, because leading up to that point, he hasn't looked very good. And age has really been an issue for him. So I have no idea what to expect. But if he does anything like last year, that is all they can ask for from him. I don't know if he's going to play beyond this year. I think he's still kind of left that up in the air. But Molina, because of what's happened this season with it being just a 60-game season, he has now indicated he wants to play for another year or two. And I guess the Cardinals will probably end up keeping him around so he can finish his career here. But I know the dude works really hard to stay on the field. That's one thing I will say for him, is that he puts in a lot of work to make sure he can play. So I think you can expect about the same as what you got from him last year. I don't know what to expect from Wainwright. I mean, this could finally be the year where it's just not there for him anymore.
How is Dexter Fowler doing?
I mean, he hasn't been good here with the exception of one season. Offensively, he's been not great. Last year, he had the second best on-base percentage on the team, which was only .346. So that says more about the team than it does about him. They were a pretty lousy offensive team. We'll just put it that way. As for him, his very first season, which was 2017, he was a pretty good, productive player offensively for them. He's never really done well in the field since he's been here. They moved him over to right field. He hasn't been great in the field. His offense really hasn't been great, with the exception of the OBP last year. So as far as performance goes, it hasn't been great. And I think the relationship between him and the fan base hasn't been good. And I don't think it's his fault. I think it's just when somebody doesn't perform, you know how fan bases treat you when you don't perform. And sometimes they're kind of nasty. And that's happened here too, and it happens in Chicago. You and I both have dealt with it. You know, you know what it's like when a guy's not playing, and it's. I know it's a weird thing for Cubs fans, because you know, if he tweets something, and people go after him because he's not performing well, you know, they'll say, why don't you worry about hitting? And you get a lot of Cubs fans who will defend him and say, you know, come back to Chicago. We love you, Dex.
Right.
And I'm like, that's great and everything. Until he did actually show up and start playing and producing the way he is here, you would not be that nice to him. I promise you. If people if people can tell Mark Burley to get the hell out of town and move to St. Louis, I'm pretty sure they can tell Dexter Fowler that he's no longer welcome in town. And by the way, the Mark Burley thing is 100% true, because in 2006, when I was doing my first year on Sox post game, I had that phone call more than once. More than once. If he doesn't want to be here anymore, send his ass to St. Louis. Because if you remember, Grody, do you remember that, like, the first... I don't know if it was the first or the second half of 06. He just wasn't good. Like he even admitted after the fact that he was tired. He was tired from the World Series and, you know, pitching all those innings, and then the following year, and then I think the World Baseball Classic he didn't participate in that. But he said he had admitted much, much later that he was tired from it. And people were like, I took that call and I'm like, what are you talking about? You're trying to... You want Mark Burley to leave town? Mark Burley?
Really? Number 56?
Oh, more than once. And then the best part was in 2007, when he was in his contract year, he was good again. And people, and I don't know if it's the same people, but I have to imagine that some of them were. People were like, if they don't re-sign him, I'm never coming back.
Right. Oh man, you just described the life of a fan there in one sentence, man.
Right. It's awesome, and yeah. So I think Dex deals with a lot of that, and some of it is fair fan criticism. Sometimes people are just way too nasty, and I think that happens everywhere, obviously. But screw those people.
Yeah.
Overly nasty. There's no reason for it.
Oh, I know, and I think Cubs and Cardinals fans had an interesting simultaneous taste of that the first year Jason Hayward was with the Cubs, because he didn't perform well with the Cubs, so the fans at Wrigley were restless with him. And then when he went back to St. Louis, you remember how it was when he went back there, and they were just crushing him because he made a life decision to go play in Chicago.
Right. And then in hindsight, they were pretty happy that they didn't end up signing him to that deal. Because the Cardinals are, the way they operate is different than the way the Cubs had operated the last few years, where they are extremely careful with how they spend their money. So like the John Lester contract and the Hayward contract, Cardinals have never have done both of those at the same time. Like that, those two deals just would not have coexisted. They don't do it that way. And to the fans, I mean, that pisses a lot of people off, because if there's a free agent out there that can help, they want the Cardinals to go do it. Like, you know, spend your money. You make an outrageous amount of money in this city for a small town, you know, comparatively speaking, and with the amount of revenue that comes in, why don't you spend some of that money? That's how a lot of people view them, which kind of leads me to the Luis Robert situation.
Yeah, yep.
When they said that, well, we couldn't justify $52 million or whatever it is to bring him in here for somebody who hasn't even made the big leagues yet. And, and I, you know, very rarely when it comes to a young player like that, do I feel confident that he's going to be great. And that's one of the rare times where I was like, dude, you better get this guy. You better lock him up. If you don't, you're going to regret it. And watching videos of him, and I know they're just short videos with not a whole lot of context, and he doesn't have a big league year, you know, career yet. But man, watching him hit a home run and fall down in the process was so Adrian Beltre great
that
I feel like that guy's gonna be a damn stud. And I feel like everybody could tell that guy was going to be great. And, you know, the Cardinals didn't really make, I don't know if they made a serious offer, but they definitely in the end said, we couldn't justify spending that kind of money on him. Well, great. Now you're out a potentially great player, and it would have been a bargain for you over the next several years. But, yeah, you decided to go prudent on that, or frugal, or whatever word, cheap. Whatever word you want to use. So good luck. While Robert is a freaking stud on the South Side, he's gonna be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, I can't wait. I mean, he's like, yeah, Sox fans, like, he is the number one guy that people are looking for. Like, there was so much fanfare over Eloy Jimenez last year, and deservedly so. Yeah. There is like twice as much for Luis Robert going into this year. So
Grody, I heard that did they stream their practice today or something?
Yeah, they did. I think it was. I don't think they did again today. I know they did yesterday for sure. Okay. We've been all breathless over the Cubs having a sim game out at Wrigley tonight. So one thing at a time for me.
Well, yeah, the Cardinals are in the middle of one right now that's streaming. I think they're going to stream like 5 intra-squad games. But I mean, I was following along on Twitter, and Robert must have. I think he slid in awkwardly to maybe second base or something.
Yeah.
And
yes,
people were freaking
yes,
out, like,
yes.
Oh my God, please don't be hurt.
Right.
Please don't be hurt. Yeah. So, and by the way, it is Robert, right?
Yeah. Well, it's been said several different ways, Chris. I don't know that we have a consensus. I have heard Luis Robert.
Robert, yeah. So it's not even, we don't have a consensus on this yet?
I don't know. It keeps changing, man. It keeps
changing. The man's in town.
I know.
What are you guys doing up there?
I used to have the benefit of solving these problems myself. Ask the man himself. Hello, sir. How do you say your name? So you know, we're gonna have to get Merkin on this probably.
Come on, Merk. What the hell?
Yeah, get on it. Get going. Ranji, I've been told now by our producer Adam Stadzinski twice that I have to stop talking to you. So I guess I have to let you go.
What else is happening? I mean, like, what else do you have to do? You have
exactly.
Coming up or something?
I have no idea, but he sounds panicked, and I'm like, come on, man, it's a Tuesday night and I'm just talking to my old friend Chris Ranji. But I
calm
guess I gotta
down,
let
Adam,
you go.
Nobody's listening.
Yeah,
nobody's
exactly
listening, Adam, calm the hell down.
Yeah, there's that part too. I mean, Christ. Love you, man.
Love you, buddy.
All right, that is Chris Ranji. from St. Louis. He's a talk show host for 101 ESPN. I'm Mark Grody. We're taking the break, studs. We're doing it right now on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Welcome back in on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. It is the Joe O Show. I'm Mark Grody in for Joe O tonight. I'll be here again tomorrow night as well. And then I'm going to be in for Lawrence Holmes on Thursday and Friday, the noon to 2 show. So you are stuck with me 7 days this week here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We've got early odds coming up a little bit later on when we will do our baseball picks, and you are welcome to text in or call in at any time. Again, 312-644-6767. And for the third time tonight, we are going out to Wrigley Field where the Cubs have been playing a sim game, and that is where we find our guy, Ron Coomer. And Coom, what is the latest from Wrigley Field in the Cubs against the Cubs?
Well, they got two of their young hard throwers in the game now. Norwood is in the game, and so is Maples. So both of them throw close to 100 miles an hour. Norwood has thrown about 98, but the big thing in this game has been the last swing of Javi. Javi took an inside fastball from Kyle Ryan and hit an absolute rocket off of the fencing just underneath the Nuveen sign and left. And I mean, I don't know if it took more than a second to get out of the ballpark, but that was an absolute bullet that Javi hit.
And if there were fans there, I'm sure they would have loved Javier Baez hitting a home run against
Kyle Contreras has hit a home run today. So Contreras, that's his third home run he's hit so far in these inter-squad games. And I think with that last ground ball out, I think that's the end of the ballgame. So the game has just ended, and I think they're going to do some defensive work or maybe some base running work is the way it's kind of seeming. But David's going to get the guys together here on the field. But all in all, a good game. Looked like the pitchers threw the ball well. Two starters looked fine in Darvish and Hendricks. To me, Hendricks, Kyle just looks really locked in. So all that part was really good.
Well, that's good to hear, man. Let's talk about a couple of the names that you mentioned, and one guy is Dylan Maples, because Dylan Maples has all the talent in the world, an excellent slider when it's working. How do you kind of evaluate and view Dylan Maples, what he has done and what he might still be capable of doing?
Well, for me, a guy like Maples, you know, he's got, you know, the extremely, you know, he's just got extreme talent, as you said, Mark. He's, you know, he throws right around 100 miles an hour with a nasty slider. But, you know, to me, the key for guys like him, he's got to throw the ball over the plate, and that's been what's eluded him for quite some time. He just has not been able to throw enough strikes. And when you don't throw enough strikes, big league hitters are going to hit you. And he pitches behind a lot, and he just can't command his fastball. And, you know, and I also think as a young player, you know, the situation of the game at times gets to him a little bit, like all young players. So I think he's been around the block a few times now where he's been up and down, up and down, up and down the last couple years. And, you know, now's the time that he's got to get a handle and harness some of that stuff that he has. And if he can do that, then he could be a very good big league pitcher. But he's got to be able to throw the ball over the plate with consistency.
That is key. I love, by the way, Coom, the fact that I'm hearing Go Cubs Go in the background right now. That's wonderful.
Well, the Cubs won tonight, if everybody wants to know. Cubs won. I like that. So, you know, I got a couple texts earlier today. Hope the Cubs win tonight. Well, they won.
Yeah.
For everybody out there, Schultz, they won tonight. He was getting texts from my boy. Yeah, they won tonight. He, you know.
Yeah, you gotta like that blue over white tonight out at Wrigley Field. And you mentioned that Wilson Contreras hit one over the wall, and I think that, look, Wilson Contreras, we know how good he is and how talented he is. He's had a little trouble staying healthy towards the ends of years. I would imagine that a 60 game schedule for any catcher, let alone Wilson Contreras, is just fine, thank you.
Excuse me, sorry, I'm in the middle of a yawn. This is kind of late for me, Marcus, 8:30 thing during the COVID. You know, usually
I'll try to
I'm
pick
up,
it up
you know,
a notch,
yeah,
man. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, I need a little coffee. But, you know, yeah, for him, he's going to be fine. I also think, you know, he came out and spoke yesterday about this 60 games and how he felt and that he wanted to be in there every day. And to me, that's got to be music to the ears of David Ross that, you know, what's going to end up happening is Caratini is going to catch Darvish. So that's going to give Contreras that day every week that he knows he's not going to catch. But to me, with his skills with the bat in his hand and, you know, his pop and his bat, you know, hitting right in the middle of the lineup, he may end up being, you know, that DH on that day or possibly, you know, playing first base, playing left field and giving the Cubs another option. So he's really swung the bat well and looks about as game ready as you can be right now here at Wrigley.
Was Caratini Darvish's guy last year? I mean,
he
was
yes.
That Darvish, okay, so Darvish wanted to have Caratini as his guy.
Well, I think they're, you know, that second half of the year, things really started clicking for those guys, and so they stayed right where they were at, and, you know, and it also gets Caratini in there at least once a week, and maybe two or three times when you start talking out the DH role, so that's a real positive thing to get. You got to get him in. And if you're going to use him, he's got to be able to get in and get some work. And so this way it gives David, you know, a couple days of the week that he's going to be able to put Caratini in there.
A couple more things, Coombe, and then I'll get you the heck out of there. How's Chris Bryant doing?
KB looks just fine. He's been moving around great. Swing looks great. I think he's embraced this leadoff spot, which I didn't know if he would do or not, but he sure has, you know, and has been a very good team guy by doing so. So that part is good. He's looked great at third base. I mean, he just, you can tell he, you know, from his first year of being a Cub to where he's at now at third base, you know, it's just, you know, his work that he has put in through the years has really paid off. He's an excellent third baseman, and you know you're going to get a 30 home run guy.
And I think I saw Schwarber go oppo yesterday. He had such a great second half of last season, ended up with 38 home runs, and he's kind of got that sort of a healthy attitude of not necessarily grip it and rip it, but maybe something like that where he's not going to overthink things as much as maybe he did in the past. Would that be an accurate way to put it?
Well, I don't know. He's a pretty knowledgeable hitter. Believe it or not, even though, you know, when you think of his approach to hitting and what he has done as a big league hitter, you got to remember 2 years ago, he was sent to the minor leagues, right? And he was really struggling to start the year. And then last year, he becomes a 30 home run guy and has a great year. And that comes with understanding what you're trying to do and then being able to put it into play in a big league game, and he was able to do that very well. I just love his approach to hitting now, where he uses the other side of the diamond. He works at pulling the ball, but his main work, or his main efforts in batting practice, you might say, is to hit the ball kind of at that 368 sign in left center. And he pounds the ball over there, and then if the BP pitcher throws him in, he hooks the ball. And to me, that's a great way for him to go about things, because most teams are not going to pitch him inside enough to where he can hit a ball over the scoreboard. They would much rather take their chances on him having to hit an opposite field home run.
And, Coombe, I am thrilled to hear that you mentioned the Nuveen sign. And I don't know that Jeff Garland will be allowed to be in the booth this year, but I just know how much that will please him. And it will please Pat Hughes, of course, as well.
Pat Hughes in the Nuveen sign. Anytime you mention Jeff Garland on Cubs radio, it makes me smile. As you know, Mark, he's one of our great friends here in the booth. And he comes in and he's like a shot of adrenaline when he comes into the booth. So it's just great. He's great. Whenever you bring that name up, Jeffrey is always welcome here in the Cubs booth.
Ron, thanks for everything you did tonight. This was a lot of fun. It was cool to get a little taste of the ballpark, and now I'm glad that you don't have to go work your way through the fans and work your way through traffic. So have a nice, safe drive home, my friend.
I sure will, buddy. Always great to talk to you, Marcus.
All right, man. Take care. That is Ron Coomer doing wonderful work for us out at Wrigley Field and covering the Sim game for us, a game in which unofficially, Javier Baez goes deep. Wilson Contreras goes deep. Apparently, Kyle Hendricks looks really good. Yu Darvish as well. Yeah, Dylan Maples, man. Dylan Maples. He's a stuff guy. He's got all the stuff in the world. And, you know, Coom called it right. Just got to put the ball over the plate. And he could, like any year for Dylan Maples, because he's still young, it can take. Because when he's right, he's got the best slider on the team. And we all know how nasty of a pitch that is. I didn't get to this with Coom, but I'm sure that it eventually, you know, I'm sure he's talked about this. But, you know, the big Craig Kimbrell is a huge question mark for the Cubs. He's a mystery man in terms of, is he what he was in the short time that they had him last year when he just was giving up bombs and lost ticks off of the fastball? I mean, it seemed like that just meant everything. Having lost velocity and will, you know, working a change up in change things for Craig Kimbrell, they have to, even though he might be good, you have to kind of, from a management perspective, you have to assume the worst, and that who's the next man up in that regard. And I'm not saying, this is not my long-winded way of saying it's going to be Dylan Maples, but you have to start to have a depth chart in that regard. And, you know, a lot of people are saying Jeremy Jeffress, the guy who was successful as a closer at one point in time with the Milwaukee Brewers and a setup man. That's possible. But I tell you, the guy that I would like to see, you know, put into that closer spot eventually, and if Craig Kimbrell doesn't work out, is Rowan Wick. I really like what he did last year in the positions that he was put in. Not a guy that I had expected to thrive as well as he did last year, but certainly nice that he did. And then we heard Kyle Ryan tonight did give up, he gave up a home run to Wilson Contreras. So, yeah, those are kind of your big four right there. Kimbrell, Rowan Wick, Jeremy Jeffress, and Kyle Ryan, and maybe Dylan Maples. We'll see. You know that they want him to be in that position for sure. But, you know, bullpens, a miss. This is why I say, like, for all the specialty coaches that exist right now and what the Cubs did in adding hitting coordinator for the entire system and pitching coordinator, there should be a bullpen coordinator for teams. And I'll just make it Cubs and Sox, that there should be a guy who just, all he does is, he doesn't have to care about anything else that happens on the team. All he concerns himself with is the big picture with the bullpen and scouring other teams and waiver wires and who's available and who's not, who's losing it and who is on the upswing, because it's such a fickle, volatile position. There should be somebody who's paid a healthy salary that is designated to just be obsessed with the bullpen throughout the year, because that's what, you know, Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer have to spend a lot of time doing that. That's part of their job description. But, man, it's such a weird position that I think there should be somebody who is designated to take care of that. So just a little suggestion, if any of the GMs in town are listening, be obsessed with your bullpen. All right, let's take a break. Still to come on the show, and I think we're going to push this back a little bit. We're going to do, we are going to do early odds. I think we're going to do it at 9 o'clock now, though, because I want to make sure we have plenty of time for it. We're going to do early odds, and early odds tonight is going to feature Adam Studzinski and I doing our picks for Major League Baseball this year. We'll do the first place finishers in each division, the wild cards, and then if we have time, maybe we'll even play around and place the teams 1 through 5 in the divisions too. So we will unravel all of that baseball fun in the 9 o'clock hour, and we'll have more coming up here as well. Mark Grody in for Joe Ostrowski on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. 8:51 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I'm Mark Grody. We were talking about earlier siblings in sports, brothers in sports, in the name of the Subans, and Malcolm Subban being a goalie for the Blackhawks who comes into perspective a little bit more for the Hawks because Corey Crawford is out. And I talked about how, at least it looks like right now, he is the less talented of the two Subans, because PK of the Subans is probably the more talented player, although Malcolm is a younger player who knows what he ends up being. So we're kind of talking about pairings in sports that exist in that realm. Like, I just, off the top of my head, I don't even know if this was a good example necessarily. No, actually, it's a really good one. Chris Gwynn to Tony Gwynn. Jeremy Giambi to Jason Giambi. Eddie Payton to Walter Payton. I jotted down the Uptons, but is there a huge difference between BJ and Justin of the Uptons? There was Eric Patterson to Corey Patterson, although Corey never quite topped out where he was supposed to, you know, a relative bust, although he had some good moments with the Cubs, did Corey Patterson. Of course, there's Brian Urlacher and Casey Urlacher as well. And now you have a situation on the Bears where you, of course, have Khalil Mack, and Ladarius Mack is now on the Chicago Bears roster for right now. And I was just looking at that. I brought that all up because a few people a little ways back were playing along on the text here at 312-644-6767. Paul and Rick Russell. Yes, I always go into Gropper when I hear the name Rick Russell. I think, I think Rick was the better of the Russells in that case. There are the Alou brothers. Were there Alou brothers? I mean, I know there was Moises of the Alous. I know that, who was the other Alou? Okay, I'm going to have to educate myself on that. Let's see, what else? There's the Alomars, but, like, I think Robbie Alomar was the better of the Alomars, and I'm talking about Robbie Alomar and Sandy Alomar Jr., the catcher, but there wasn't a huge, like, Sandy Alomar Jr. was a really good catcher, or an all-star caliber, an all-star, period, with Cleveland. Of course, played with the White Sox as well, but, you know, Robbie was a better player, but I don't know if that's a great example, because they were both very descript in terms of their abilities to play the game, one catcher and one a second baseman. But if you have a less talented brother, 312-644-6767 is the number. You're going to want to stick around, because coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, we are going to finally do our baseball picks. We've had to push it back because we didn't want to have to rush through the segment, so we can kind of sit back, relax, and have a little fun with it. And the 9 o'clock hour, who hour, and I say hour, I mean Adam Stadzinski and I will do our picks in baseball this year, the division winners, the wild card winners, and maybe we can place the teams as well. And really good stuff tonight, too, with Ron Coomer. That was a lot of fun getting him on a few times throughout the show to get a feel for what's going on out at the ballpark. And it was fun. For people who didn't hear, they were playing music throughout the night. They were indeed for this sim game. They were indeed playing or pumping in crowd noise, and it's simulating it, you know, based on what was happening with the team for a single or a homer, and pumping up the volume a little bit more. They did have the PA guy. Now, that's an interesting thing, because with no fans, there is obviously no need to have that, but it sounds pretty damn good to continue to have that. So that sounded really good. And I'm sure the players appreciate it as well. And I think for the players' sake, you want to make it as realistic as possible. And then just to top off the night, we had the ambient sound while we were talking to Ron Coomer the Cubs song playing, Go Cubs Go, at the very end, when the Blue Cubs beat the White Cubs in a game in which Javier Baez homered, Wilson Contreras went deep as well. and I think Chris Bryant had an RBI too. Yu Darvish looked good. Kyle Hendricks looked good. Dylan Maples got in and looked good as well. This is everybody look good season. That's just the way it works a lot of times in spring training and this time of the year, but it's going to get real a week from this Friday. From the 312, Grody, you ought to broaden your horizons and learn a little bit about the Southside team! Yeah, this has been a very Cubsy night. Maybe we'll try to do a little bit more of the White Sox tomorrow, but this is the plan. With the sim game going on, this was the operation that we set up here for tonight. So yes, I admit this has been a very, very Cubsy show. But when we return from the break, we are going to address both teams, because both teams will come into play when we do our baseball picks. Mark Grody filling in for Joe O on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.